Good evening and welcome back to MASC's weekly radio show on Family Matters. Tonight's show is sponsored by Sierra Tucson, an amazing, wonderful program in Arizona that has been working with our families for the last 34 years. We are very, very happy to have with us tonight Dr. Tina Moyer and Jamie Vink. Good evening. How are you, ladies?
Wonderful. Hello, thank you.
Hello. How are you? Thank you for having us.
Hi. It's so very, very nice to have you both with us this evening. Jamie is the Chief Executive Officer, and I'd like to welcome you. I'd like to welcome Dr. Tina Moyer. Dr. Tina Moyer, I am so very happy to have you with us to talk about the different programs that you have at Sierra Tucson, being a psychiatrist, being in the behavioral health and substance abuse disorder programs there. It is so important that my listeners hear directly from you about the programs. I've been working with Sierra Tucson for many years. I have wonderful relationships with the staff in Sierra Tucson, and we have unbelievable outcomes. Families are healed, getting healed through your program, and continue to be healed after they come out, they're released from your program. The families go on to having relationships ongoing with the staff when needed. So let's get right to it so that our listeners could know more about Sierra Tucson. Dr. Moyer, tell me a little bit about yourself for our listeners, and where is Sierra Tucson? What is Sierra Tucson? Let's get started.
Well, Sierra Tucson is in Tucson, Arizona, so we're in the southern part of Arizona, but we're actually a bit at a higher elevation, so we get a lot of different kind of weather here. It's not all hot the way I think people think of Arizona. Anyway, Sierra Tucson has been in existence for over 30 years. It was started by somebody who was in treatment himself for cocaine and alcohol, and he was so amazed by his own transformation that he created Sierra Tucson as a place for people to heal. So we've been working with families and patients for a long time in all kinds of capacities to help not only the patients heal, but also the families recover from and support the patient on this journey of healing. I'm a psychiatrist. I trained at the University of Arizona, so I learned, I do adult psychiatry. That's my basic patient population. But what I've done, because of the kind of interest I have, is I've tried to expand my scope of practice from the standard sort of diagnostic and medication management role of a psychiatrist to learning a lot more about how trauma affects people, how just the world that we grow up in affects us, so I've learned different kinds of therapy, like several kinds of trauma therapies, as well as sort of psychoanalytic thinking, as well as equine therapy and different kinds of modalities, so that I can integrate all of that into both my assessment of patients and my work with them.
So for my listeners, we need to just, if a parent has a loved one, or for themselves maybe, struggling with addictions, trauma, complex pain, mood and anxiety disorders. These are some of what you treat in Sierra Tucson.
Yes, and we have a very integrated approach to it in that we recognize that somebody may come in, let's say, with an alcohol problem. Alcohol problems don't exist by themselves. Nobody decided they wanted to be an alcoholic when they grew up. The alcohol use is serving a purpose, and part of our job is to really understand the purpose it's serving so that we can help people find other behaviors that help them with their anxiety, their depression, their trauma, whatever's going on. So we have a very integrated approach to both diagnosing and treating patients. When they come in, they'll be assigned to a primary treatment program, a track, like addiction is one, chronic pain is one, our trauma track, and then our mood disorder track, where we see depression, anxiety, bipolar, those kinds of patients. We also have secondary eating disorder track, and what that means is a lot of patients come in with, you know, depression or alcohol or whatever, but they also have problems with eating disorder and body image. So we will integrate those kinds of services into their treatment program. Additionally, even though people are assigned to a primary track with a primary therapist and with a dedicated medical provider, psychiatric provider, if we recognize that there's more than one issue going on, for example, maybe somebody's drinking because they have depression, then they will also get mood services. So they'll get therapy in groups as well as one-to-one, as well as education regarding their mood disorder as well as their alcohol disorder. So we try and have a very holographic approach to our patients, recognizing that patients are not behaviors. Patients are people who have behaviors because they're suffering, whatever that suffering may be.
Right, and I must say for our listeners that Sierra Tucson's model for treatment is evident. You do evidence-based practices. So it's important.
Absolutely.
Right, it's important that the listeners know that there are physicians that are involved, there's family involvement. Your goal really is to get the client out into the world and to be able to live a healthy life. Of course, I do want to mention the 12-step involvement in Sierra Tucson's programs. So can you just, for my listeners, explain at what point is the 12 steps integrated in their program and the involvement of the family members and the 12-step program while their loved one is in your program?
Well, let me start with the 12-step program. That's the classic Alcoholics Anonymous or Cocaine Anonymous. So there's different kinds of programs, but they're all based on 12 steps towards examining your life, examining your behavior, and sort of coming to an understanding of how to manage your behaviors that have become out of control. So we do a lot of 12-step, which is a spiritually based concept where, you know, it's not God in a concrete sense. It's God as each individual imagines God has meaning for them and speaks to them. So it's a very personalized spiritual experience. Now, we do get some patients who are not comfortable with the spiritual piece. And so what we do is there are other types of programs that are very good in treating substance abuse and eating disorders and that sort of thing, but they're less spiritually based. So we have that. We have practitioners in those techniques or those approaches available. That the patients can also go to those, you know, get classes and groups in those. And sometimes it's just helpful for them because they'll go to a variety and they'll decide which is the best fit for them. So we incorporate that 12-step process into the work, but they're also at the same time getting, evaluation by psychiatric providers, and they will see their psychiatric provider every week. Now, for some people, they may just have an addiction doctor, and some people may just have a psychiatrist. It sort of depends on why they're there. But everybody will be evaluated by psychiatry at least one time to make sure that, you know, even if the problem, again, let's say, is alcohol, that there's not an underlying problem with mood or anxiety or trauma. Because if you, you know, the alcohol is treating the anxiety, let's imagine that, then you need to treat the anxiety so that the patient doesn't continue to drink. There's other ways to manage it. So we use, again, you know, evidence-based treatment approaches to all psychiatric disorders. We also get genetic testing so we can make an, we can assess what would be the best approach, which medications are going to work better versus which medications may be more problematic. So it's, everything here is evidence-based, and we have a medical department that's actually quite large. Most places don't have medical departments. So we not only get the psychiatric piece, but we also evaluate people medically to make sure there's not medical causes that are either underlying or unknown that may be causing the symptoms or maybe just complicating things. We also have naturopathic physicians here. So not all patients have to, you know, go through the standard, you know, allopathic medicine, the MD type medicine. They can also get naturopathic treatment as well. Sometimes the naturopath is not an alternative to the psychiatrist, but we're always looking to treat people as holistically as possible.
Thank you. Again, for our listeners that are just tuning in, we have with us tonight Sierra Tucson, our sponsor of Masks Weekly Radio Show. And I'd like to give out the number of Sierra Tucson's inpatient rehab in Tucson, Arizona. Jamie, can I ask you to give out the number, please, so that our families could reach out to Sierra Tucson?
Absolutely. Our number is 1-800-842-4487. Again, that's 1-800-842-4487.
Thank you very much. And Sierra Tucson's been around for 34 years. They have decades of experience. They are have a very extensive family support program and a very strong medical component. And that is something that is so important. I want to touch on one more thing about treatment ends, and that is there are a lot of my callers on the Mask Helpline have been in a car accident and, you know, have back issues, and they get painkillers recommended for whatever illness they may be facing, and then they can get addicted. And we've had so many families that are in trouble today because a father, a mother, a child are addicted to painkillers given for real reasons. So I'd like you just to touch on that important part for my listeners, please.
Well, we do. We have a dedicated pain program with a pain specialist who works with us. Our pain specialist is very integrative. And so he includes all kinds of body work or massage or fitness, certain kinds of physical therapy, as well as a dedicated pain therapist. And the pain program here works towards getting people off of opiate medications or managing it for them. And we utilize a lot of modalities to do that. Like I said, therapy and physical therapy and things like that, but also things like acupuncture and acupressure. It's also helping people make sense of pain, because what happens when someone has chronic pain, it becomes so overwhelming that it almost becomes part of their identity. And they feel like they lose themselves in the pain process. And so a lot of the focus of the program is helping them sort of find the person they used to be before they had all the pain. so that the pain is no longer a defining characteristic of who they are. It may be an inconvenience, it may be frustrating, but it doesn't take over their life and cause that kind of anxiety and depression that we see in people who have chronic pain. The other piece of it is as you mentioned, with prescription opioids being such a problem socially right now, it's recognizing that things like chronic pain, as well as obviously substance abuse and trauma and mood disorders, have a profound effect on the family. There's a ripple effect that you have the one person who's suffering, but it sends ripples through the entire family. And so helping the family participate in the treatment, not just as a support system for the patient, but also so that they as a family can help develop boundaries and expectations around their family member who maybe is causing disruption because of whatever their behavior or their complaint is, but also how to give them support in healing. So that part of what we do is we have a family program that's 4 days a week, and it's a four-day program, and it's usually about the third week of treatment, where the families come in, and they have their own family therapist, and their family therapist will help them work on how their family member has impacted the family function, and then they will also get a chance to work with their family member in very controlled circumstances with therapists there. Several therapists will be in the room so that they can work on the family problems that have arisen as a result of whatever their family member is suffering with.
Well, thank you for that clarity. I would like to ask Jamie if you could just help my listeners understand what the process would be if interested in having a family member admitted to Sierra Tucson. So they call the number, and then what happens?
So they call the number, and we have a very compassionate and supportive group of admissions counselors that are always available. And even during the deep night and on the weekends in the evening, we have an admissions counselor on call. So they're always able to get a hold of someone and to speak with someone. And basically what they will do is find out what's going on in the family and then to do a comprehensive assessment so that we know that we are a good fit for their loved one. And then also they'll explain the entire process. They will talk about transportation, and then they will also talk about the finances and to say, okay, we do work with most major insurances, and so they will run the family member's insurance card, and then they will find out exactly what we're talking about in terms of financial commitment and what the insurance will cover. And we do a very good job of working with out-of-network policies, and our utilization review team is very, very successful. Our average length of stay is around 30 days. And so then the assessment will be completed, so the family member will have an understanding of, okay, your loved one is a good fit clinically, and yes, we can help them. We believe we're a good fit. And then here's what the financial ramifications are. Here's what your insurance will cover and those kinds of things. And then we will make all their transportation arrangements for them. The loved ones are welcome to come out and to stay for the first few days. We have local hotels that we have arrangements with, and then they can stay. They can tour the facility themselves, and then they can also meet with their loved ones' treatment teams and not go back home until they're confident that everything is a good fit and that all is well.
I know that's such an important piece to Sierra Tucson. Not all rehabs allow that. There are many rehabs, many, many, many rehabs, that you drop off your loved one, and the first 48, 72 hours, there are no phone calls, there is no contact, and there are, families that have difficulties. experience with that process. But I know Sierra Tucson works very closely with family members, and so that's wonderful. But there is an important piece that we have not yet touched on, and for my listeners especially, and that is that parents always ask, is there kosher? What if my child wants to pray every morning? And I really want to talk about that because Sierra Tucson is one of the first rehabs, one of the first, not the first, but one of the first rehabs that asked for trainings to learn about the religious folks, what are all our different, you know, there's different levels for each group, being religious, Jewish, religious, and I'd really like you to talk more about that to my listeners so that they're comfortable knowing where they're sending their child or loved one or themselves.
We are a culturally sensitive facility, and specifically in terms of religious, we have kosher meals that we're able to provide. We have kosher kitchen, so we have an area of our dining services that's dedicated to be preparing kosher meals. We have a wonderful relationship with a rabbi who comes, and he will meet with the loved one as much as they're comfortable. And then also when we've had folks here that have wanted to observe various holidays, he will come and we can set up the appropriate tables and he will be present and be sure that those holidays are observed in a culturally appropriate way.
So that's really a very important thing. Sure.
And I want to add something to that I think is very important. And I'm saying this as I'm Jewish myself. There's a concept. We tend to think of trauma as something that happens to the individual patient. But some concept that has developed over the years is the idea of transgeneral trauma. That is trauma that is visited upon the ancestors that, you know, the current legacy is having to deal with. So this is actually identified after World War II in Israel, when, you know, so many survivors of the concentration camps were in Israel. And here they were finally in a safe environment and surrounded by, you know, culturally safe people. And what they started seeing in the children of these adults were certain symptoms and behaviors. And what they recognized is that the trauma that the parents had experienced was being transmitted to the children, and so on down the generations. My own example is I remember when my grandmother, came from a little shtetl in, you know, Russia. And one day we asked her, I must have been in my 30s, we said, what's your earliest childhood memory? And she said, hiding under the floorboards of the house while the Cossacks ransacked the village. And it was like suddenly the light came on in my head and I went, oh my God, that's what's wrong. I've been waiting my entire life for the Cossacks to ride into town. And realizing how the anxiety of my ancestors dictated my own anxiety. So I think that we do a very, very good job here of recognizing the cultural, not only the culture of contemporary living, but the history and the cultural history, and its psychological, its emotional, and its behavioral implications. I'm actually very proud of that part of our work, which is we address transgenerational trauma, and as well as, you know, the family, the nuclear family trauma.
Very important. Thank you. So, Jamie, what is the average age of the residents at Sierra Tucson?
Well, it's interesting because the youngest patient that we will work with is age 18, and the oldest patient that I have seen since I've been here is age 82. And our average patient is 42 years old, and we have a very nice cross-section of all generations. And it's interesting because we have therapists that specialize in the young adult population. We have therapists that specialize in the more mature adults. Dr. Moyer and I do speaking on a national level about the mature adult treatment experience and what it means to be age 45 and above and in residential treatment, and the biological, social, and psychological implications of going to treatment at that phase in your life, including what happens in your family. And so we are extremely sensitive to all generational concerns. And we have things such as the group of the elders for age 55 and above. And we are mindful of the various generational concerns and what Dr. Moyer just spoke of, the transgenerational trauma and uniqueness.
Excellent. Well, Sierra Tucson has a really sterling reputation, and MASC is always so proud to partner with Sierra Tucson. And I know you have a strong alumni division as well. I wish we could talk more about that, but we are running out of time, and I'd like you to give out Sierra Tucson's number again, please.
Absolutely. It is 1-800-842-4487.
And to my listeners, I just want to say it is never easy to pick up a phone and make calls to get a loved one to go inpatient, to call MASC or Sierra Tucson or any other organization to share whatever you're struggling with. But that could be the first day of the rest of the person's life. So both Sierra Tucson and MASC are asking families that are struggling with addictions to pick up the phone, call MASC if you're not sure about which rehab your loved one should go to, or call directly Sierra Tucson, and they can help your family get started in treatment today. Please write down MASC's number, 718-758-0400. Maybe it's for yourself. Maybe it's for a loved one or a neighbor or someone you sit next to in shul. Write down our number, 718-758-0400. Our staff and Sierra Tucson staff is ready to help your family on the journey of getting healthy today. I want to thank you both, Jamie Vink and Dr. Tina Moyer, for being with us tonight, and Sierra Tucson for being our sponsor tonight on Family Matters. Thank you for being with us.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
Thank you so much.
And I want to wish everyone a very good evening and a wonderful Shabbos. Thank you.